Hallelujah. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Your sins are forgiven on account of his name. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel is written in the 18th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, beginning with the 21st verse. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet. Open our eyes and show us the way that you would have us go. Be with me, O Lord, and use me as your vessel to proclaim your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love these stories about people that walk on the shore and find these lamps in the sand and pick them up and rub them. I have another one of those stories for you today. A man picks up a lamp he found on the beach and he rubs it, and out pops a genie. And the genie says, "I will grant you one wish." So the man thinks for a minute, and then he says, "My brother and I had a fight 20 years ago, and we haven't spoken since. My wish is that he will forgive me." And there was a bolt of lightning across the sky, and the genie said, "Done. Your wish is granted." And then he smiled at the man and he said, "Most people in your situation would have asked for wealth or fame, but you ask for fellowship and forgiveness between you and your brother. Tell me, what prompted you to do that? Are you old and are you about ready to die?" And he said, "No, not me, but my brother is, and he's worth $60 million. Sometimes it's hard to forgive a brother, a sister, a parent, a child, a friend, an enemy. Forgiveness is hard for us, folks. It doesn't come easy to us. And in today's lesson, Simon Peter wants to know exactly what he has to do. It's like he doesn't want to have to do too much, and he doesn't want to end up doing more than he has to, but he wants to know. And he asks, how many times must I forgive my brother? How about 7 times? Now, this was a over and above kind of answer Peter was giving, because back in that day, the teachings of the prominent rabbis were that you needed to forgive your brother one time, and then if he sinned against you again, you needed to forgive him that second time. And if yet again he sinned, you needed to forgive him that third time. But if he sinned again, you didn't need to forgive him. 3 times was enough, but 4 times was too many. So here's Peter asking Jesus, okay, now let me think. Let's be really generous, and twice the 3 that is required is 6. And let me add one more just for good measure. Is 7 times just about right? And Jesus says, no, 77. Peter thought he was doing right well by offering this huge amount of 7. And Jesus says to him, not so sure about that. Let me tell you a parable. And he goes on to tell this parable. Before I get into that, I want to talk a little bit about Brian Tracy. He's a business guru who has given seminars around the country on forgiveness and its benefits. And he got a phone call one day from a fellow in the Netherlands. And the man said, I've called you because I want to tell you my story. I heard you at your seminar, and you were right on target. Here's my tale. I grew up in a dysfunctional family. I wasn't close to either one of my parents or any of my siblings. I ended up having a bad marriage. My banker cheated me, and I ended up with very, very little to my name. And I went to the doctor because I was feeling ill, and the doctor said, you're shot. Your system's going downhill rapidly. I need to tell you need to get your affairs in order and forgive all of those that you need to forgive, because you're probably going to be dead within 6 months. Well, that woke the man up. And he went home that night, and he sat down, and he wrote down the names of all these people that had made him furious over the years and whom he had never forgiven. And he came up with a list of 39 people. And then he settled all of his affairs, sold what little he had left, wrote out his last will and testament, and began the process of making calls and making visits to each one of these 39 people. He was determined in the 6 months that he had left that he was going to go and make amends with all of these people. He would call them or go see them and ask for their forgiveness and offer his forgiveness. And after he had done all that, he thought, well, I better go check back with my doctor. And he walks into the doctor's office, and the doctor takes one look at him and says, my goodness, man, what has happened to you? I've not seen you look this spry and healthy in years. And the man told his doctor what he had done. And he called this business guru, Brian Tracy, to tell him. He said, the only thing that was different was that I let go of my anger and I reconciled with all of these people against whom I had held grudges and resentments over the years. The end of 6 months, he was just fine. Now, that's one example of why we need to forgive. We need to forgive for us. We are the ones that eat ourselves up inside by carrying our anger and our resentment. It can shorten our life. It can impair our memory. It weakens our relationship with God. And it can even afflict our feelings of self-worth and value. All of this is in addition to the damage that it can do in our relationships with others. So the first thing I want you to understand today is the importance of forgiving to give ourselves peace in our own soul. That's the only way it can happen. Comedian Buddy Hackman said one time, Buddy Hackett said that when we are angry with someone else, we end up being the ones sitting at home sulking, while the person with whom we are angry is out dancing and laughing. And that's true. We can say to people, "Well, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget." And when we say that, there's that kind of hidden feeling inside that you're going to be sorry. And the reality is, they're probably not sorry at all. You're the one that is mulling over and churning it over and building it up and feeding fuel to it. And they probably could care less. They're not concerned about this. Their life's going along just fine. But you're hurting yourself when that happens. Many of you have probably heard of the poet Edwin Markham. When he reached the age of retirement, he discovered that his banker, who was his friend, had lost all of his money, and he was penny-stricken. And he couldn't write poetry anymore. So he tells a story that one day he's sitting at his desk and he's got out his pen and he's just kind of doodling and looking down and looking out the window, and he's not writing poetry, he's just making marks on the paper. And he tells the story that suddenly he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit said to him, "You must deal with this thing. It is going to ruin you. You cannot afford the price you are paying. You must forgive that man." And the poet wrote later that he immediately stopped and he said a prayer. He said, "Lord, I will, and I do freely forgive." And he picked up his pen and he wrote out his most famous poem. And I am sure every one of you has heard it at some time or another. "He drew a circle that shut me out, heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in." His most famous poem. We forgive in the first place because it is in our own best interest to do so. And we forgive in the second place because the past is in the past and it needs to stay there. We don't need to be carrying around all that anger and all that resentment and all those hurt feelings and all that garbage from our past. It's over and done with. Our unresolved anger can erupt in ugly and mean things. And we don't need to let that happen to us. Forgiveness allows us the opportunity for a new beginning. It's like the dentist who moved into a new neighborhood. He bought this brand spanking new house, and he had very carefully had the front lawn sodded, and he was out there watering it all the time, and Then one day he realized that all the teenagers in the neighborhood were running across his yard and riding their bicycles over his yard and digging up the dirt, not necessarily meaning to, but with the tires on their bikes, and it was becoming a mess. And one night, the ringleader of all these teenage boys in the neighborhood had a terrible, terrible toothache. And the next morning, the mother sent her son to this dentist. And the dentist said, well, it's going to take some repair, and it's going to be expensive, but I can take care of it for you. The teen said, no, no, we can't afford it. And the dentist finally talked him into doing it. He said, if I don't take care of it, it's just going to hurt more and more. Let me do it. We'll worry about the cost later. So he fixes the boy's tooth. And it's not too much longer after that that the dentist was called out of town unexpectedly for a lengthy period, and he had to leave. He never sent a bill to the family, and in all of his rush to get out of town to handle a family emergency, he just forgot all about it. And when he got back, he realized that this yard he had taken such good care of, that the boys had just about destroyed, had been well manicured and taken care of the whole time he was gone. And it had been done by the young man whose tooth he had fixed. And when they saw each other and the dentist thanked him for it, the young boy just kind of shyly shuffled his feet and he said, a tooth for a tooth. Now the dentist could have been very resentful and he could have held on to his anger about these boys. I grew up in a neighborhood, and we had a woman like that. She was so angry. The only way to get home without going an extra mile and a half all along the roads was to go down a dirt road down to the lake where we lived. And between the end of that road and our house, there was probably 20 feet that belonged to her. That was her beach. And we'd all go home that way and then traipse up our yard and spread out in the neighborhood. She would stand out there looking for us with her garbage can lid in one hand and a stick in the other, and she'd see us coming along and she'd just start banging on that garbage can lid. And for 2 or 3 years, every Halloween, the boys in the neighborhood would go steal that garbage can lid. Until finally she got smart and started putting her garbage can in the garage every year. But she held on to her grudge because we were walking, not on her grass, but on her sandy beach. And she didn't want us doing it. She made herself miserable. And she knew none of the kids in the neighborhood liked her. And she really was a pretty pleasant woman, except for that. So we forgive because the past is in the past and we need to let go of it. Just let it go. And the last reason we need to let go and forgive is because we have been forgiven. Our Lord has forgiven all of us. Yes, there is a price to pay for sinfulness. And that price, that cost, that ransom, if you will, was paid on behalf of each and every one of us on the cross. That debt has been paid. God's grace extends beyond whatever we can hold on to as a grudge or an unforgiving heart. Maybe that's why God tells us to become like children, like the little boy that was heading out the door to go to the local store to buy his brother a Christmas present. And he starts yelling at his mother because he realized his brother had broken his favorite toy. And he said, I'm never going to let him play with my toys again. And you jolly well can be sure he's not getting a Christmas present from me this year. And he stomped back into his room. And a few minutes later, he comes back out in the kitchen, and he reaches over to the coat hanger, hook, whatever you call those things, and he puts on his jacket. And his mother says, "Where are you going?" "Well, I'm going down the store." "Why?" "I'm going to go get that present." She looked at him, and she looked surprised, and he saw the surprise, and he shrugged his shoulders, and he said, "Well, he is my brother, isn't he?" The world is filled with our brothers and our sisters that we are called to forgive because we have first been forgiven. There's one last story to tell you this morning, and it's about a man and his wife that were celebrating their 50th anniversary, and all kinds of family and friends had gathered around. And their granddaughter was soon to be married herself, and she goes up to her grandmother and says, "Granny, please tell me, what is your secret to a long and happy marriage?" She says, "Well, dear, I decided on the day of our wedding that I was going to sit down and write a list of 10 things that your grandfather could do that I would immediately forgive and just forget about." And one of the friends who was standing right there said, "Well, can you give me an example of one of those things?" Because she'd heard this and her interest was picking up. And she said, "Well, to be honest, my dear, I never got around to writing that list. So whenever he would do anything that made me hopping mad, I would just shake my head and say, it's a good thing for him that that's one of the 10. It's a good thing for us, my friends, that God has made his list. And he has put on his list everything for which he can and will forgive us. And on that list is everything we could ever conceivably think or do against him and against our neighbors. So aren't we lucky that he has made his list and crossed out our sins for us? So let us forgive our neighbor as we have been forgiven. That's the best witness we can make to the grace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.